You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, it's Mark Teixeira. The Michael K. Show starts now. Here's Michael, Don, and Peter on 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Mark, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. We thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. It's October 19, 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, and Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4 hours. The other 20, that is your responsibility, and we'll get right to it. The big story, obviously, the Yankees at 11 o'clock this morning announced that Aaron Boone has been signed to a three-year contract with a team option for a fourth year. And I'm kind of startled that anybody in a baseball universe would be surprised. We all knew that Aaron was coming back, and I don't even have a problem with him coming back. I know a lot of Yankee fans do, and we will certainly open up the phones for you to express what you feel. But I will tell you this, the only thing that surprised me was the length of the contract. That was surprising, but when Brian Cashman said that we feel that he would be the number one free agent as a manager if he was no longer here, the Yankees were operating under the assumption that Aaron Boone would be scooped up. And remember, the Padres have an opening, the Cardinals have an opening, and oh yeah, by the way, the Mets have an opening. And, I talked to a lot of baseball people as I was heading up to Stanford. We did a special surrounding the Zoom interviews that Boone is highly coveted around Major League Baseball. People really think that he does a really, really good job. And what I'd like to decipher and just talk to with Yankee fans out there, because, again, the reaction on social media is like outrage. What exactly do you think that Aaron Boone is doing wrong? Because even Brian Cashman said, he took most of the hit on the way the roster was constructed. Here's an exercise. And Don and Peter, you could join in as well, because I was talking to a guy that I know who really is locked into baseball. Take a look, like an overhead view, the way Wayne Gretzky used to view the ice. Take an overhead look at the schematic of the Yankees and the Red Sox. All right? Take a look at that. And you tell me, of the starting nine, who on the Yankees starts over the same person, the corresponding person on the Red Sox? Now, Aaron Judge is one. Even though Hunter Renfro had a great year, Aaron Judge is a great player. He'll be in top five in the MVP. That's one. You could make the case that Gleyber Torres at second would be the second one. Who else on the Yankees is starting over the Red Sox? Now, I bring this up because, Alex Cora has been lionized as a great man, and I do think he's a great manager, but lionized. The Red Sox and the Yankees finished with the exact same record of 92-70. Exact same record. Red Sox won 10 of the 19 games the two teams played. So Aaron Boone is playing with a team that maybe two people could start on the Red Sox and finish with the exact same record as the Red Sox. Now, I'm not saying the Yankees had a good season. With a $205 million payroll, there are issues there, man. If you can't beat out the Tampa Bay Rays in their $60 million payroll, and the Red Sox in a year when they were, quote-unquote, reloading, well, something's gone wrong. But again, I'm just curious, Don and Peter, maybe you can help me out. Why the enmity toward Aaron Boone that he is the reason that everything has gone wrong? What, you don't like his face? You don't like the fact that he supports all the decisions on the post game when he has to defend his players? You don't like the fact that he doesn't throw his players? What is it about Boone that gets Yankee fans in such an outrage? I'd like to know that.
Well, I don't think it's anything specific about Boone. I'm sure a Yankee fan can call up chapter and verse about handling of the bullpen or the lineup and probably have a million reasons why they don't like Aaron Boone because they watch every single pitch, right? Yankee fans are very, very passionate, and they're diehards, and they'll probably give me a laundry list of reasons why Boone's not a good manager. But I think overall, in general, it's what Aaron Boone represents, and that's a lack of accountability for losing in this organization. If the mission statement every year is to win a championship, if Joe Girardi was fired going to Game 7 of the League Championship Series in 2017, then why isn't Boone being held accountable for not being able to reach that same height? Why is he not being held accountable for being a wild card team and not winning a division only once since he's been the manager of the team?
Well, maybe the front office realizes it's their fault.
All right. Well, then, but did that help the assistant coaches that were let go 72 hours ago?
No. It didn't.
So there was accountability there. See, that's the thing that's confusing to me. All right, Brian Cashman's untouchable. You know, you just described a Brian Cashman problem. But Brian Cashman's not going anywhere. All right, I think Yankee fans have conceded the fact that he is not going to get fired. So Boone is the expendable. His assistants, his number one guy in Phil Nevin was let go. So why is Boone not only still here, but gets, in essence, a four-year contract? Well, he's being rewarded for what?
Because what? This is the quote from Cashman. Aaron Boone is the solution, not the problem. They don't think that there's a problem with Boone.
Well, and now therein lies the rub, doesn't it? You've got to get off this mission statement World Series. You got to get off this. It's not about world championship. It's about world championships, plural. You're like every other team. And the reason why Aaron Boone is so coveted, Michael, is because the Padres would kill themselves to be the Yankees over the last 4 years.
And I think Aaron Boone might be hired by the Mets.
Right, the Mets.
I mean, that
doesn't
scare the Yankees.
As a Met fan, I'd love to win 100 games every year, 90 games every year, compete for a playoff every single year. And that's what the Yankees do. So is it possible that the reason Aaron Boone is being rewarded is because they believe he's doing a terrific job because the Yankees are, in their eyes, a successful team? And the Yankee fan says, wait a minute. I thought it was mission statement championship. I thought it's championship or bust. So they've got to get on the same page because it sounds to me like the Yankees are perfectly content with what they've been doing over the last four years.
But there's a fly in the ointment in that argument, Don. If the front office realizes it's their fault, I mean, the mission statement could still be championship or bust, but why blame the manager? I mean, if he's being given a subpar roster, which he was, again, look at the Red Sox and look at the Yankees. Who on the Yankees is starting on the Red Sox? Then it's not an Aaron Boone problem.
But there's a fly in the ointment of that theory. Was anybody saying this at the beginning of the season?
No, but who are the people that we're talking about? People like us, the prognosticators? Again, I don't understand who got it wrong. We got it wrong. We were hoodwinked by it.
Right.
They weren't that great a team. They were too right-handed. They're not athletic. They don't run the bases well, and they don't play good defense.
But is it possible? Yeah, we all got it wrong. But the Red Sox were in a rebuild. I mean, baseball got it wrong. I mean, the Rays, let's put the Rays aside because the Rays are a better run organization. They're just the better team. I mean, the playoffs didn't prove that out because the Red Sox beat them. But still, the last couple of years, the Rays have been better than the Yankees in the regular season, 60-game season and 162-game season. But the Red Sox, on paper, were in a rebuild. They weren't anything that the Yankees had to concern themselves with, and they were basically the same team on paper in the standings and ended up beating you in the one-game playoff. All right? That came out of nowhere. So isn't it possible that the big difference was the manager? So we didn't look at this gross difference between talent at the beginning of the year. We're looking at it after the year was over.
Right.
So the X factor was Cora was able to get more out of his players than Boone was able to get out of his.
Or maybe Cora's players are better.
Well,
maybe they're better.
But to the Yankee fan, Michael, there's no accountability there because the guy that put the team together gets to sit on the top of the hill and talk for an hour and a half today and is untouchable.
Well,
so that's the frustrating thing for Yankee fans.
But that's a different argument then, Don,
right?
Because my point is, so Yankee fans just wanted Boone's flesh just so they feel like they got something out of it? Well, here's what I would tell Yankee fans right now. Again, the 3 years and an option surprised me. Good for Aaron, okay? But if you weren't changing the way this team does business, if you were staying with Brian and the analytic group that he has, the next manager would be Aaron Boone 2.0. It would not be Mike Socia, Bruce Bochy, right, or Buck Showalter.
Well, but that's,
so wouldn't they rather have the guy that they've already put 4 years into?
But right, you're right about that. But you have to understand the frustration that if Boone gets let go, it's a sign of we're not happy with where we are right now. We want to try to improve that position. Now, if they ended up bringing in some guy we never heard of or a guy that was an Aaron Boone clone, then I think those same Yankee fans could be upset realizing that nothing really changed. But there's no chance for a Buck Showalter. There's no chance for a Mike Socia or Bruce Bochy if Boone stays.
But so, Don, I promise you and everybody within the sound of my voice, if Aaron Boone was let go, Buck Showalter, Mike Socia, and Bruce Bochy are not walking through that door as long as Brian is the GM.
Right. So you expect Yankee fans to be happy when there's Kevin Bacon in Animal House saying all is well. Because that's what they said, all is well.
Well, no, they're not saying all is well because Brian said they have to rejigger the roster. I think they're going to make massive changes. But what he's saying is all is well in terms of the manager.
I think if you – I've been trying to think about what the angle is here. To me, if you're upset, what you should be upset with is this belief in what Cashman said, that New York is above a complete retool. To me, that's where if you want to get angry, get angry. Say, no, we're not above it. We're tired of it being the way it's been. We want to tear it down and start over again. If not, if you don't feel that way and you agree with Brian Cashman that that's not the Yankee way and the way to do it is to continually compete for a playoff spot and, as he said it, quote, see if some magic can happen there, then this is the way to do it.
But he's absolutely right. We would not accept this. I mean, look how Jet fans have gone nuts and Giant fans have gone nuts. And that's not even a teardown. I mean, the Giants are on a teardown. That's just ineptitude. And you can have a teardown. You can have 4 or 5 years and not be good. But you know what? You can have 15,000 people in the ballpark. You got to feed the beast. You got to feed the machine.
Right.
So no, I don't think that I don't think this market supports it. And I don't think the Orioles don't support it. The only market that supported it is the Cubs, because the biggest star on the team is the building. The Yankees would not be able to have an attendance of over 2 million if they tore this. And I don't think this doesn't have to be torn down.
I don't think so either. I don't think so. But I'm just trying to figure out what else you're mad about them when it comes to this. Because it's not Boone.
Right, but here's the frustration of the Yankee fan. They look at this season as a failure. Rightly or wrongly, they look at it as a failure because they've been told by this organization it's about winning championships. That they are going to – it's a championship or bust mentality. Everybody else goes into spring training hoping they'll make the playoffs, hoping they can make a run. The Yankees expect to make a run. And Michael just went chapter and verse how the roster is flawed and how the Red Sox ended up being a better team. The absolute unmitigated disaster embarrassment that the Rays could be better than the Yankees with a fifth of the payroll. And there's no one held accountable for it. Brian Cashman's not going anywhere. Manager doesn't go anywhere. Yeah, they move some chess pieces around. Phil Nevin's out. They fire the hitting coach. They make a couple of little changes here and there. But in essence, we're told it's not the manager's fault. It's not the general manager's fault. The roster needs to be reconstructed. Well, the guy that constructed it told you that it was good enough, and it wasn't.
But now he's saying it wasn't.
Right. And so why should he be the one that gets to reconstruct it? That's
because even with a subpar roster, they won 92 games.
Right. Well, so that's okay. But to the Yankee fan, that's not okay. If it's okay.
But Aaron Boone said, it is still championship or bust. He said some years you're going to get there and some years you're not. Well, but when you say bust, what do you mean? I mean, does the whole thing implode?
No,
they're not happy that they didn't make the playoffs.
But we're not talking about a team that's gone a couple of years. They have not won. They have not gone or won a World Series since 2009.
I know.
They've won one division title since 2012. So it's one thing if you were the Dodgers. Right, the Dodgers have only won one championship since 1988, right? And that was last year. But the Dodgers have gone to a bunch of World Series. They consistently, what did they win the division, 6-7 times in a row? The Yankees aren't even doing that. So that's the problem, Michael. If we're talking about a team that over the last 10 years went to 5 World Series and lost them all, and when they didn't go to the World Series, they went to the League Championship Series, we're talking about a team that's won 1 division title in going on 10 years, and over the last 2 years have had to settle for a wild card because basically a minor league payroll has won the division. And a team that was in rebuild finishes in second.
And it was also amazing that Brian admitted that this team has gone, went from unstoppable during the season to unwatchable. Yeah, he admitted it. It was unwatchable at times. So there's a couple of things in this the day of these two pressers that got me. And Don mentioned this before. So you bring back Boone. You bring back the front office. You bring back all the analytic guys. So the guys that take the hit are P.J. Pelletier, Marcus Thames, and Phil Nevin. And, you know, Brian's buzzword of the day was, we're looking to go to a higher ground. I mean, he always has buzz phrases, and that's his buzz phrase now. We're looking to go to a higher ground. Like, he didn't fire them, but they're looking to go to a higher ground.
Right. The Stevie Wonder song or the Red Hot Chili Peppers? What version?
I think it's the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
What about Higher Love?
No, they don't need a higher love. But here's what I don't understand. If Aaron Boone, and I asked this question, and I'm sure that it upset a lot of people, but it's a question that had to be asked, and it wasn't necessarily answered in a satisfactory way. Aaron Boone got a 3-year contract. He was obviously coveted by the Yankees. The GM said that if he was a free agent manager, he'd be the number one free agent out there, meaning they know he would get hired immediately. That gives you leverage in a contract negotiation. And Aaron Boone didn't stand up at least for Phil Nevin? Because Nevin said, when a reporter got a hold of him, this wasn't about anything on field. It wasn't about me being a third base coach. It was something else. And from back channels, what I heard is that the something else was that Phil Nevin, for all the Yankee fans that wanted Phil Nevin gone because he got Aaron Judge thrown out, Phil Nevin pushed back. He is not all in on the analytics. He accepts it, but he believes that there are some flaws to it, and he would battle it. They want all in. So Aaron Boone said it was the toughest part of this decision, and he said at one point in answering my question that if, in fact, he did say it's Phil or me, he wouldn't be sitting there. So he thinks that he would lose that battle. I find it unbelievable that Phil Nevin could be that distasteful to them that they'd give up a manager that they just gave a 3-year contract to. There's no way. If Aaron wanted to die on that hill, he would not have died on that hill. And the other thing that jumped out at me when Aaron was talking, and even when Brian spoke, they get really, really annoyed if you say the manager is not calling the shot. They get really annoyed. And even Aaron said, you guys build it up to be some boogeyman on the side that's calling the shots. Let's be honest, though. Okay? Aaron Boone does not have the power that Joe Torre had, that Buck Showalter had, that Billy Martin had, that Earl Weaver had. Managers don't have that power anymore. So don't make us out to be bad people that were saying that the manager's job is different than it used to be. Again, I'll repeat this. I say it over and over and over again. On this show, 3 years ago, I specifically asked Brian the question, can a manager of the Yankees manage by the gut? And Brian said, absolutely. But if it doesn't work out, he's got to explain why. So really, are we playing with semantics here or not? I'm not saying that Aaron Boone's a puppet. I'm saying this is a collaborative effort and that there's a load of people walking around the Yankee clubhouse with iPads that get guys like Phil Nevin crazy. But Aaron Boone's on board with it. So he's not doing anything that he does not believe in. That's the thing that I think is unfair with people. Aaron Boone believes in those numbers. He manages by those numbers. So there's never a disagreement. So to say he's a puppet, no. He's a 2021 manager. He takes the information, and that's how he makes his decisions. But to get upset and say, you guys are portraying it like there's a boogeyman. No, there's no boogeyman. It is what it is. Look at all the teams in the playoffs. Look at the teams that are left over. The one team that is probably the least analytic is the Atlanta Braves. But the other three, I mean, talk about all in. The Dodgers, I mean, you can't tell me that Dave Roberts is making these decisions himself. He even admitted the Corey Knebel decision came from the tippy top. That's his quote. They said, well, don't you have more than one vote? He goes, no, I just have one vote. So if all the analytics people in the Dodger front office said, yes, we're starting Corey Knebel rather than Urias, and Dave Roberts said, no, we're starting Urias, you know what they do? They started Knebel. So, again, semantics, everybody. But, again, let's just revisit the most important part of this. Yankee fans seem like on social media, maybe that's just the people that are upset, and they're the loudest. They seem really fired up, upset that this is the Yankees accepting mediocrity. I don't look at it that way. I think Aaron Boone is good for this team. I think Aaron Boone is a good manager in this day and age in baseball. I think he relates to the players, and we don't know what goes on behind the scenes. We have no idea if he's lighting a fire under them. None. Zero. We have no idea. And those that say they know, they don't know. We're not in that room. Even when we were allowed in that room, we weren't in the room when the manager would be talking to the players. So everybody has to pump their brakes on the Aaron Boone hatred. I don't get it. I don't get it. Is he the greatest manager of all time? No. Even Brian Cashman said he's a work in progress. But they think he's pretty darn good. So this is where we stand right now. I think the Yankees, Don and Peter, are going to make major changes. Major changes. From if you could somehow sift through all the words that Brian spoke in an hour and a half, and boy, can he talk. Anthony Rizzo looks like somebody they want to keep. They have no shortstop. They're going to go with Gleyber Torres at second. They said that DJ LeMahieu is going to have had surgery last Tuesday on a core injury, and that could have been the reason why he had the season that he had. They also said Jameson Taillon is going to have surgery on October 28th to repair his ankle. He's going to be out 5 months. So we're not going to see Jameson Taillon in all likelihood until May, if then. So when you look at this Yankee team, the one that reports to Tampa, you're going to have a different shortstop. I don't know what the situation is at first base. I don't know what they'd be willing to pay Rizzo. Looks like they're going to try to go with Hicks in center. He seemed like, Brian Cashman seemed like he spoke in a positive way about Sanchez, because Sanchez would probably make about $8.5 million on arbitration. Can the Yankees get a better catcher than him? Can they get one? I don't know. Who's available? There aren't any free agent catchers. What are they going to do at short? Are they going to go with the big guy at short, like spend the money for Seager or for Correa, or are they going to go with an Angelo Simmons because their two best prospects are shortstops in the minors who might be 2 or 3 years away? This team is going to be different, everybody. It's going to be different. So you kept the manager who you think is a good manager, and you know what you did? You're going to change the team up and hope that that makes it better. That's what I got out of this today, guys. I don't know if you got anything different. Is there any high notes that you got out that I'm not touching?
Well, just the general acceptance that this crapshoot mentality again. Like you said, yeah, we built a team that we thought that could win, but also could be bounced in the first round. I think they're getting off without saying it, Michael, this whole mission statement World Series. Because I think they do see, hey, it's there's success here. We're winning 90-plus games every year. We're going to the playoffs pretty much every single season. I think they're trying to sell that as the success instead of it's a miserable failure unless we're the last one standing. I think they want to win, but I almost got this sense that we've been talking about the whole time is that, hey, nothing's promised to anybody. You know, we're like everybody else. We're going to go try to win the championship, and some years we're going to be close, and some years we're not going to do it. Well, that's not what Yankee fans expect to hear.
But I get that's what George Steinbrenner said. I get it. I understand. But this doesn't mean that they're not trying to win a world championship every single year. I don't understand what you're saying. They're still trying to win it. So just because they didn't win it, they have to fire the manager or maybe get different players. That's I think, is going to be the response to this, Don, is get different players. Hal Steinbrenner said it in July. It's the players. The only fly in that ointment is then why'd you fire three coaches if it's the players? Now, there was a statement by Hal Steinbrenner that was released, but I spoke to Hal myself, and I said, what's behind this? He said, the reality is I believe Aaron is one of the better managers in the game. The players respect him. They want to win for him. Given his personality, he will adapt well to whatever changes we all agree to make as far as the team, coaching staff, overall philosophy is concerned. So that is the added input from the owner of the team. Obviously, he had to sign off on it. He and his family had to sign off on it. Well, they like Aaron Boone. And I don't think there's anything to hate about him. Again, for some reason, Yankee fans really don't like this guy. And I want to hear rational thought when we open the phones. Rational. Tell me why. What does he do specifically that you think makes the Yankees underachieve? That you know specifically. I was reading on social media, somebody said, oh, he runs a lax spring training. Well, how do you know that? How do you know what a lax spring training is? So give me all your hot takes on why you think this guy's a bad manager when every team in baseball that has an opening probably would go for him if he didn't re-sign with the Yankees. Tell me. I want to know. Maybe I'm missing something.
It's just going to be a hard spot for people because people are frustrated and they're not getting anything to hold on to. They're not getting a pound of flesh.
Right. That's it, Peter.
But that is a reasonable thing to feel. It makes sense that people would feel frustrated, and now they're getting, wait a second, we're signing up for 3 more years of this? I agree with you. Boone is not the issue. It would be a faulty person to blame. However, I do understand the frustration of we're just going to keep doing this over and over and over again.
Because what you've created, Michael, whether you want to believe it or not, whether it's you defending it or the Yankees, you've created a bubble around whoever the manager is, and you can't criticize them. Because anybody that calls up, what's the answer going to be? I don't like the way he handled the bullpen. Well, he didn't handle. Well, that's all talked about up top. I don't like the fact that the lineup and why Judge is batting second or Rizzo batted first in the wild card game. Well, that's all collaborative. Like, so you can't knock the manager because he's got this protection around him that anytime you feel like he made the wrong move, well, it's not his decision. It's upstairs. This is all figured out before the game is over. That's a lot for a fan to have to swallow.
I get it. And you know, people on Twitter, I'm reading, Kay's defending Cashman. No. Kay's not defending Cashman. Kay is telling you exactly what's going on. Not defending anybody. If anything, I guess I'm defending Aaron Boone's aptitude as a manager. I think he's a pretty good manager for this day and age. Maybe he would get the floor wiped with him when he was managing against a Billy Martin or a Earl Weaver. Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe he would be a good manager then. He's a good communicator. The players seem like they play for him. Who am I defending? I'm not defending Cashman. He said that he had a flawed roster. He took it on the chin. He said, blame me. I'm just explaining what's going on. I'm sorry if you people don't understand English. I'm telling you why they make these decisions. I'm not telling you I agree with it. I'm telling you why they make the decisions. Do you understand the difference? I'm acting as the conduit so you know, you understand what's going on. Instead of me getting bashed here, I'm defending Cashman. You clueless clowns. I'm not defending anybody. I'm telling you what their thinking is. They think Aaron Boone is exactly what they want. And in this day and age, he's probably the perfect manager. Again, the phones, they are yours right now. Let's hear exactly why you think this guy's so bad. Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN. Brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Got a lot of stuff to talk about today. We'll get to all of it. Talk to the Knicks coach, Tom Thibodeau, at 4 o'clock. Their season opens tomorrow. The Nets season opens tonight. Yeah, Nets against the Bucks. And that'll be on Yes. So anyway, should be a good show. We're on until 7. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. The Jets must feel great because they beat the team that beat the Bills.
Kinda.
I mean, minus the injured players. But what was your significant beef with the game yesterday?
Well,
Don?
I understand you're on the road and the Titans are a team that can march down the field in overtime and score a touchdown if you lose the toss. But why is it a good idea to go for it on fourth down, and why that play? Because if you get the first down, you know, you're talking about, what was it, Peter, like less than 20 seconds. So maybe you bought yourself another down. I just kick the field goal, go to overtime. Maybe you win the toss, and you've got multiple options and ways to win. I understand you had given up 34 points, and Tennessee's a pretty good offensive team, and they can run the ball right down your throat. But why is it that play, and why does everybody feel like, oh, we love it when they do it. I love it when you go for two, when you can settle for overtime. I love it. It's like, just because it shows guts doesn't mean it's the right and smart thing to do. Everybody loves it, but is it really the right thing to do? Did Buffalo really give themselves the best chance to win last night?
I'm surprised they didn't kick the field goal because, again, you say you're on the road, but it's not like you're batting last. You have a chance.
I'm so with Don on this, and Don, I tweeted it. You would be amazed at the amount of people who just absolutely believe the only right call was to go for it there. Now, yes, Tennessee had scored, I think, on seven straight possessions or six straight possessions. So I understand why you have no confidence in your defense if you're McDermott, right? I fully get that. But to your point, you're under 20 seconds left, and you're running a QB sneak not at the goal line, but at the two-yard line to try to pick up a first down. If you were going to go for it on fourth, to me, Don, the only play there is bootlegging and letting Josh Allen take a look at it and see what he can do, either with his feet or the option to throw it. There's two little options for him. And as it panned out, by the way, we're proven correct. He slipped and fell to the ground immediately. Like, the thing that I love is that people still insist it's the right call. Furthermore, besides what the play should have been, am I like old school and boring for thinking you cannot risk just losing a game to be cute there? You kick the 3 points and you hope that either A, you win the toss in overtime and get a chance to score a touchdown on that drive, or B, your defense can come up with one stop.
I don't understand how
people can defend it like that.
A lot of coaches play to the fringe element. You know, I mean, even Joe Judge went for it the other day because he got criticized the previous week for not going for it. I think they hear fans. They do. They hear the criticism, and they want to be the big bad guy that shows they're tougher. But that's probably not the play at that point.
No. And again, if you want to go for it, to Peter's point, then shoot end zone. Run a play where you can score a touchdown there. Because all you're guaranteeing yourself is a fresh set of downs, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to then win the game. So he's committed to scoring the touchdown there. And so the philosophy is he really believes in his quarterback, he believes in his offense, and he's got the guts to go out and do it. But people forget the other message. Hey, defense, we don't believe in you at all. We don't think you can come up with a stop. We believe that if we lost the toss, we were going to lose the game. Listen, overtime, yeah, even if you allow points, just don't allow a touchdown. If you give up a field goal, you get the ball back. Maybe you win the toss, and Tennessee never touches the football. But now, to have it come down to one play, guys, when it doesn't have to be one play, and you're a really good football team like Buffalo is, didn't make a lot of sense to me.
Well, it made sense to Next Gen Stats, which shows you, by the way,
here we go,
that analytics have crept into football in a big way. So here's what they reported. The Bills' decision to go for it on fourth and inches from the Titans, trailing 34-31, was unequivocally the optimal call, according to Next Gen Stats' decision guide. The conversion probability is 75%. The win probability is 63% if you go, 42% if you kick a field goal. So the recommendation is to go for it by 21.3%.
Nerd!
But why that play then?
That's a different story.
For that play. Now, is that for going for it on fourth down for the 1 yard? Or, hey, because I could say if it's a 75% chance of getting the first down, run a play that maybe if you get the first down, you then on that same play can score a touchdown. Like Peter said, maybe you roll out. Maybe you just have an actual running play. There was no way you would think on a quarterback sneak he'd score on that play. It was designed to just get the foot you needed to get the first down. So now you've opened the door. Now
that's true.
Now you got other plays to run. So I get the stats. All right, the stats tell you to go for it. But does it have to be that play?
Lisa makes a great point on Twitter. She said, these NFL coaches are going for it on fourth down like me and my friends playing Madden 10 years ago.
Right. That's it.
Yeah. And again, it just shows that, I love it. Like Riverboat Ron with the Washington, right? I just love it. That's just the way that he is. Well, is it the smart thing to do all the time? When you're the best, I still think they're the better team. Buffalo is one of the best teams in football. Tennessee's been Jekyll and Hyde for years now, okay? Sometimes they look like the best team in the league. And even with the injuries, should they really have lost to the Jets a couple of weeks ago? So that's kind of the team that they are. So I like my chances in overtime with the quarterback and that my defense can come up and hold them to a field goal.
Listen, a lot of the argument, Dom, was that Buffalo has no divisional competition, so why not just go for the win? But to me, I'm thinking about a team that you could be playing in the AFC Championship, right? Don't you want to show – you never know. That's or certainly in a playoff game, a first-round matchup, whatever it may be. Don't you want to show that you're capable of beating this team and put your best foot forward, not just throw a shot at it?
Yeah. Let me remind you about the Bill Burr Slight Return Tour. It's at Forest Hill Stadium in Queens on August 10th of 2022. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to score a pair of tickets. Brought to you by AXS. Tickets are on sale now at AXS.com. We'll come back. We'll take some phone calls, more on that football game, and then return to analyze the three-year contract given to Aaron Boone, plus an option as well. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. This is the Michael Kay Show.
Tom Thibodeau, what would be a successful season for you, Coach?
Just take it day by day. Don't skip over any steps. Concentrate on what we have to do each and every day. And hopefully we're building the right habits and we're playing our best at the end.
Now, I know growing up a Knick fan, this was a dream for you. Is the reality better than the dream or is it what you expected?
Yeah, no, it's great just to be here. Having been here in the 90s and growing up as a kid, a Knicks fan, it doesn't get any better than this. And there's nothing like a big game in the Garden. And to have your family and friends here with you, it's special. And just seeing all the people over the years, every time I came back here, it just felt like home.
The Michael Kay Show.
Thank you, guy. Thank you.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Yeah, I don't know why I called him guy. That's impersonal and not right.
Because my guess it's because he didn't mention me and Don, and you were thinking, well, what about the guys? Thanks, guys. And you just stopped yourself.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I don't know why I say the things I say. Before we revisit the Boone signing, I want to tell you it's game time. Brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. We're moments away from Atlanta at the Dodgers. Atlanta leads the series 2-0. That's a TBS vehicle. And then 8:08, it's the Astros against the Red Sox at Fenway Park. That's on FS1. Now, is that on tonight here? Is that on our station?
Oh, Islanders tonight. Islanders, Blackhawks.
Oh, we have the – okay. So I would assume that's on 1050. So it's on FS1, 8:08 start, and Boston leads that series 2-1. Zach Greinke will get the start for the Astros. Now, closer to home, Brooklyn will open its season in Milwaukee against the world champion Bucks.
That's right.
Yeah, how about that? I want to give you – the exact thing that you need. All right, so we are only on Yes until 6:30, Peter. So you're going to have it a compact ENN to be seen as a television vehicle.
All right.
Because on Yes, it's a one-hour pregame hosted by Michael Grady and Sarah Kustak. Both will be in studio. The game is at 7:30 on TNT. Ian Eagle and Stan Van Gundy have the call. Then after the game, you turn back to Yes around 10 for the Nets post-game show. So that is Game Time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey. During the big games this season, enjoy a Tullamore Dew, the original triple blended, triple distilled, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Remember, when it's game time, it's Tully time. Please drink responsibly. Well, we woke up today to the news, broken by my colleague Jack Curry, that the Yankees were indeed signing Aaron Boone to a three-year contract with an option. Obviously, it's the team's option, so it's essentially a four-year deal. I don't know the money, but I would assume, because, you know, Brian Cashman said if he was a free agent, he would be the number one target for any team without a manager, that he probably got significantly more than he did in the first contract, which was a four-year deal. So he's here at least three more years. Yankee fans, I'm not saying all of them. I think it's sometimes unfair to sit here and paint everybody with the same broad brush of people that are on Twitter, because people go on Twitter when they're angry. Very, very rarely do people go on social media to say, great job bringing Booney back. A lot of people that are on social media don't like it. A lot of people with Yankee Twitter handles, a lot of people with Yankee podcasts and stuff like that, they're angry because they don't like the fact that the team has not won a championship since 2009. And in this case, they put a lot of the blame on Aaron Boone. Now, I will tell you this. I don't think that Boone was the issue. I think the issue this year was a team that was poorly constructed, ill-conceived, did not have a defensive bent, did not run the bases well, not very athletic, much, much, much too many swings and misses. Now, that's usually not a death sentence because, you know, the Tampa Bay Rays struck out more than the Yankees. But on top of the fact that the Yankees swing and miss a lot, they also hit too many ground balls for a team that's built to have a launch angle, and a lot of those ground balls resulted in a lot of rally-killing double plays. Now, you blame that on Boone, or you blame that on the players that were put there? Now, even Brian Cashman, who spoke at length today, about an hour and a half, said, this is on me, and they've got some big decisions to make. So they're bringing back the manager, but what are they going to do at shortstop? What are they going to do behind the plate? Brian Cashman said that he thinks that Gary Sanchez has improved. They have one more year of control with him, and obviously it's going to be tough to get a catcher. There aren't a lot of catchers out there. So a catcher that might be available, is he better in their mind than Sanchez? That's a decision they have to make. Are they again going to go with Aaron Hicks in center field, a guy who's tremendously injury prone? Can they keep him out there for 150 games? Are they going to stay with Joey Gallo, a guy who hit 160 while with the Yankees? Brian Cashman also spoke positively about Anthony Rizzo. Do they bring him back? Do they pay the money to bring him back? Also, it's revealed that Jameson Taillon is about to undergo surgery on his ankle, and he's going to be out 5 months. So you're not going to see Jameson Taillon until maybe the middle of May. So do the Yankees add more pitching, or do they go with some of the young guys? Don't know. Don't know the way it's going to go. Looks like Severino is good to go, and he'll be part of the rotation. But, again, they're going to need arms. So this is a team that if you're a Yankee fan and they run it back and give you the same team that just won 92-70, lost to the Red Sox, well, that's a failure of an offseason. The Yankees, I think, have a lot of heavy lifting to do. They've got a lot of changes to make. They've got to look within. They've got to see if their analytics are actually as good as the analytics that other teams are using. And they have to look at their player development. Why have all the young players regressed? Why has Davey Garcia regressed? Clint Frazier, Andujar, Torres, Sanchez, they are not worth what they were worth 3 years ago on the trade market. That's something that has to be looked into. So we'll have to see. It's going to be an interesting offseason because the offseason doesn't start until after the World Series ends, which could be about November 5th. And then the offseason might just be a month, because the basic agreement then expires on December 1st. Will there be a lockout? Will there be a freeze on signings? We don't know. So will the Yankees do the heavy lifting in that 1 month they have, or will they wait to see what the new rules are? Are there going to be another salary threshold? Is there going to be compensation when you sign free agents? Is it going to go down to 5 years before you become a free agent? All of these things are pertinent before they make their moves. So all we could do is guess. The one move they made today is they brought back Aaron Boone and just taking the pulse of the people that have called in and taking a casual look at social media. Don and Peter, this is something that has not been met overwhelmingly positive by Yankee fans who have to have somebody to blame, and somebody to blame, the one that's right in front of them, that's on their TV screen every single day during the regular season, is Aaron Boone. I'm not surprised he's back, guys. I am surprised at the length of the deal.
Well, you've been saying that for a long time, but the length of the deal has to be discussed here, because it almost feels like he's being rewarded for the 4 years, giving a 3 year with a club option for a fourth. And if they're that big a fan, he has a very good possibility he's here for the next 4 years. And that's almost a decade of baseball here, which is pretty good considering how transient the position has been in Major League Baseball over the last few years. But, you know, give the Yankees credit, three managers since 96. That's a pretty good run. But I think it's more about what Aaron Boone represents than it is Aaron Boone. Like, we got some calls from people about they don't like his managerial style or some of the decisions that he made. But doesn't Aaron Boone represent, like, the direction the Yankees are going? That he, that it's about the analytics, it's about the numbers, and if we feel like there's so many teams that do it better than them, I guess the hope was that if they changed Aaron Boone, that meant that the structure of the way they do business had a chance to change. And with Cashman not going anywhere, with Boone not going anywhere, Yankee fans are worried that it's going to be the status quo. That even if you change some of the personnel, Michael, how do we know that it'll be the right personnel? They changed a lot last year. Their rotation was much different this year than it was last year. They made changes at the deadline. Two position players, they added everyday players. And it didn't work. So I can understand a Yankee fan feeling like, yeah, some bodies will move around. We'll have different assistant coaches. We'll have different players. But are we really? Did we really change the way they do business?
No, I think they'll do business the same way. Just have to hope that they pick better players. But they will do business the same way. And anybody that's in the way of this analytic revolution that we're having in the sport, they get steamrolled. They're out. Phil Nevin is out. Phil Nevin was not all in on analytics. He's out. If you buck the trend, you're out. That's why as long as the front office remained the same, which it was going to, then if you got rid of Boone, you were bringing in Boone 2.0. That's all there is to it. You were not bringing in the kind of manager that we've seen in the past that a lot of fans still hunger for. You know, a lot of people were clamoring for Buck Showalter. I just don't think that this front office would work with a Buck Showalter like that. And, you know, you don't see Aaron Boone get chapped a lot, but he did not like the question about, you know, which intimated that he's kind of a puppet. So you do have to wonder what decisions are indeed his. And I do believe that Boone is not being told what to do per se. He's totally in lockstep with the way these things get done. And he believes that the numbers are the way to go. So again, it becomes semantics. Is he a puppet? No, I don't think he's a puppet. And if he was a puppet, I don't think the Yankees would sign him to a deal where he's probably making good money. They could bring in another puppet for less. I think there is something to what he does. But he is in total agreement that this is the way to run a team. He's not being forced to do something he doesn't want to do. He got hired because they gave him a list of numbers in the interview, the 7-hour interview. And they said, how would you make out this lineup? And the lineup that he made out from the numbers was the exact lineup that they came up with out of the computer. That's how he thinks. So don't knock the guy for being a puppet because he does have some say in it, but the say is in lockstep with what the front office wants. Is that fair?
Well, it's fair, but I don't think people like it because
no, they don't.
They don't really trust these numbers, the people that are crunching these numbers. You say it's a player problem. Hal Steinbrenner said it's on the players. All right, they can reconstruct the rotation, especially if Tyone's not going to come back. Cole, and then they can change the next four. I mean, Severino comes back. I guess he's your number two. So they could probably go out and get three more players in this rotation, right?
Maybe I think they'll go with some of the kids.
But your outfield, I think, is set, right? Gallo's got another year left on his contract.
Unless they decide, you know, it's not going to work.
All right, but you still got to find somebody that's going to take him.
Mm-hmm.
You're not releasing him.
Well, there are a lot of people that were battling the Yankees to get him.
All right, so we'll
so
see
I think
if they're interested.
He's a desired product. And if the Yankees decide to move from him, it will be a decision that will say, you know what, he can't make it work here.
Right.
And they've done it in the past. They've done it with Sonny Gray.
Sure.
So they could trade somebody that they'd get that if they don't think it would work here. But I don't know if they're at that point with Gallo.
But Hicks is your center fielder and Judge is your right fielder.
Yes, and Stanton's your DH.
Right, so that's not changing. All right, they said they wanted to bring Rizzo back. So let's say they do. All right, he's your first baseman. So I guess Voit would be gone. Torres is your second baseman. They'll probably spend money on one of the free agent shortstops. Urshela is your third baseman. Sanchez, it looks like he's going to get one more shot. He's going to get more kick at the can.
They didn't say that, but you're trying to read between the lines.
But all right, maybe there's a chance that he could go. All right, but those are your nine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So kind of a change at first because Rizzo will be there all season long. Maybe Gallo. And they'll go out and I would think get one of the big-time shortstops. So that's the only change there. So you're left with, if they're going to spend big money in free agency, is going out and getting maybe 2 to 3 starters for this rotation. What's Montgomery's future? What's Kluber's future? They got to replace
Tyone. I don't know if Kluber will be back, but I think Montgomery's definitely in the rotation. They love him.
All right,
I thought he did a pretty good job.
All right, so Seve should be back, and then obviously Cole. So now you're looking for a fourth and fifth starter, or a third and fifth starter, whatever. You're looking for two starters and a shortstop. That's really the only changes, I think, Michael. What else could they do?
But they can be very dynamic. I think it has to be more dynamic than that, Don. I really believe that. It has to be more dynamic. Well, maybe you bring in a power-hitting third baseman. And a lot of people are asking me, well, if they go get a shortstop, where does that leave DJ LeMahieu? It leaves him exactly where they planned to have him when they signed him, to play all the positions and get 500 at-bats, playing one day, playing third, playing first. That's where it leaves him.
All right, so if you wanted to do something bold, you can't move Stanton anywhere. I mean, you can get creative. I mean, would he be open to go to San Francisco now that the Giants are good? Because he didn't want to go to San Francisco via Miami when the Yankees traded for him. Would he expand his no-trade list? Would a team like the Giants be interested? Because they'll probably have a DH in the National League, so you'll have all of Major League Baseball to trade him to. You're not going to trade Judge, I would think, in his last year. That wouldn't come until the deadline, and if you were out of it. If you were going to move Judge, it would have been this year, right? Now you're not going to – you're moving
No. I don't think they're going to move Judge, but now that would be the – if they were off this season, that's when you move him.
Right, but he's a free agent at the end of the year, right?
Right. If you trade him during the offseason, you could get – somebody gets a full season of him.
Right. So, but I – as you
but
said –
But I don't think they're going to do that.
You can't move Hicks because he didn't play all year. Could you deal LeMahieu? Was he got 3 years left?
Five.
No, he's not going anywhere. So when you talk about making major changes, there's not a lot of guys that aren't going to be back.
But that's where that's why I say it's heavy lifting. It's not going to be easy. They've got to get really creative.
Well, the way you get creative, Michael, is you probably have to give up a piece.
Yep.
That's going to shake some things up, and that's where you say, all right, but then you're talking about moving Judge.
I don't even know if you have to do that. I mean, you have a lot of really attractive pieces in the minor leagues. Let's say you want to go to Oakland and you ask them, we want Olson. He's going to be a free agent in a couple of years. You're not going to be able to afford him. Let's give you one of our top. I mean, I'm not saying that that's the move, but if they can't sign Rizzo, do they go with Voit or do they go with a guy like Olson? Would they be able to get him? Would Oakland be willing to trade him? I'm not sure.
But as you've said many times before, this is not blow-upable.
No, it's tough to blow up.
So they could do a major facelift, but it's not going to be, where you're imploding the whole thing because they've got contracts that can't move, players that they don't want to move. So I'm sure they'll come back different, but I don't know how dramatically different. Now, and also you just brought up something in passing that Yankee fans should have like cold sweats about, and that is with the new CBA, there may be financial restrictions. The reason they went for Kluber and Tyone, those guys were cheap. So if they've got financial constrictions going in with the new CBA where there is going to be another luxury tax and all that, how much money are they going to be able to bring on to this roster?
I think if anything, the financial restrictions will be loosened. And also they reset, which is what Hal Steinbrenner has done before. He's reset and then he spends big after that. So we'll see what they do. I don't have a crystal ball.
Right.
I'm just telling you that they need to make changes. They can't roll this back. This team is not good enough.
And we'll see if there's even baseball next year.
There'll be baseball.
Well, you say that, but...
there'll be baseball.
These two sides don't get along with each other at all.
You know what? I don't know.
That's right.
It's not really prudent to kill the golden goose. I don't think anybody wants to kill the golden goose.
No one ever does.
All reasons.
The golden goose is upset about it. Golden geese. Thank you.
All the things that we say while we're in a work stoppage going, I can't believe they're doing this. Right?
Who would do this?
Why would they do this? I mean, these were two sides arguing during a pandemic over money. So I think you're right, Michael, but I wouldn't be as confident.
I'm just always a glass half full guy. That's how I roll.
When I think of a glass, I see a glass of milk or water, and I see it half full. I see you.
Yeah.
I see you looking back at me.
You see him reflecting in the milk.
Gutlers! I'm not a negative guy. An important heads up for all hockey fans, our online streaming service, ESPN Plus, will be exclusively airing marquee NHL games all season long, continuing tonight with the Avalanche versus the Capitals. Now, if you don't have it, you could sign up at ESPNplus.com.
Now, Arto Ocal does a great job, works for us, SportsCenter, friend of the show, or friend of the station. I don't know about the show. I like him. He usually gives us the announcers for those games. I'm going to look it up. I want to see when Bob Wischusen's first game is.
He's doing it alone, right, without an analyst.
You don't need it.
I think somebody will physically be there.
But are they really going to be there?
I hope, in all seriousness, I hope they did a practice run, because that whoever that analyst is in for a treat.
Have him sit. The analyst should sit down with Marty.
Or just give Marty a call.
Yeah.
I'm Marty Lyons.
Have you sent out the awards that me and Peter won?
I didn't. On your advice.
Is that right?
Because he's like, don't send it to me. Just give it to me when you see me. That was Michael's quote.
Yeah, but I've come to the conclusion I probably never see you again.
And I thought the same thing. So what I did on Saturday when I came in to do the Ranger-Canadian game is I brought it to the studio. It is physically in the studio.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't help Michael at all, who I think is going to make it his mission not to ever see that studio. But Peter, if you want to pick it up, and also a really nice pair of sunglasses he gave us.
Really? Oh, really? Now that will get me into the studio. I love a good pair
of
sunglasses.
It's one of those,
not wraparound Oakley.
No, types, no, no, right? No, not Oakley, but they're really nice.
Metal rim or hard?
Like a metal rim, not plastic.
Aviators.
Exactly, that's what it is.
Like what President Biden sports.
Right, they may not necessarily be that brand, but it's of that ilk. And I should have waited, but I don't know when this is ever going to happen. Marty thought it'd be fun to throw Peter some women's glasses. He thought that was funny.
Oh, thank you.
I love it.
I won't read too
much
into that.
White sunglasses are also in the box. So they're there. Peter, if you want to just swing by the studio or whatever, they're right on top of where our old lockers. And, Michael, if there's a meeting or if they're going to, you know.
Can I tell you the truth? I have no idea where the studio is. I wouldn't even know how to get in. The old lockers, they took the lockers from the other place?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, sure. Hmm. It's really it's a great location. There's a parking garage right across the street.
Oh, I know the parking garage. It's $60 for 4 hours.
Well, we get a discount.
So what is it?
30.
Oh, much better.
Wow.
Two-run home run for Corey Seager. Dodgers take an early 2-0 lead.
It's half. Peter, it's in half.
No, it helps that it's half, but 30 still.
No, it's expensive. It was 14 at the other place. I get it. But it's there in case you need it. We both make a lot of money, so if it's raining or something, you can put it there.
You know what the parking situation is at the studio where I'm working right now? Nothing.
Yeah. Hey, and the commute is tremendous.
Yeah, Bob is doing Abs Cabs tonight with Cassie Campbell.
I'm going to let Cassie know that to bring a book.
Bob! Do you know Cassie?
Yes, she's terrific.
Get me help.
She's not going to be able to show it tonight. Kayla Greca.
Bob does a great job, and if he does let Cassie speak, she does an incredible job as well. So, no, that is going to be a very good broadcast that I will be on. And I've got an ice pick, too, coming.
It's almost imperative that you tune in tonight to see if Cassie gets to talk. So get ESPN Plus for that reason. All right, we'll take your phone calls on the Boone sign. I can't say extension because his contract was essentially over. So 3 years and an option. So remember, about a year ago, Brian Cass said, I want to work for a decade with Boone. Well, this will take you to 8 years. 1-800-919-3776. The K-Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Kayla Greca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes, and 98.7 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, can I just give you a little pet peeve?
Here we go.
So Corey Seager hits a hanging breaking ball by Charlie Morton and hits a two-run home run, and the Dodgers still hitting. Bellinger's up first and second, two out, still top of the first inning. Or bottom of the first. And, you know, they automatically say, well, that's Seager's 13th postseason home run, and that ties for the most in Dodger history. Are we that lazy? I mean, did Duke Snyder and Jackie Robinson and Gil Hodges have all these layers of playoffs? Makes me laugh about Mickey Mantle. Mickey Mantle had 18 postseason home runs. No division series. No league championship series, all in the World Series. There's got to be a differentiation. You can't tie them all together, Don. It's insulting.
I wonder, are they getting away with it because they're saying postseason?
Yeah.
And there was really no postseason. It was just the World Series. Now, the World Series is the postseason, but those guys, Mickey Mantle played exclusively in the World Series. So you had to change it up once you went to divisional play in 69.
Right.
And there was going to be another layer. They used to do that all the time. Bernie Williams. I think Bernie Williams still has the all-time record for home runs.
Right. Beating Mickey Mantle. And, you know, yeah, Bernie hit big home runs, but Mickey hit them every single one in the World Series.
But then are you going to, like, if you bring up somebody that played in the divisional round of the World Series, now you have to tack on the wild card and the divisional round.
It doesn't change the world, but it is a pet peeve.
Yeah, I get it. I think people need to understand. But if you're a baseball fan, I think you do realize that Mickey Mantle did not have the layer of playoffs they have now.
Well, Charlie Morton has walked four batters in the first inning. Bases are loaded. No. He's thrown 31 pitches, the veteran, and just walked Cody Bellinger. So, not good, as they say.
By the way, my arbitrary prediction of the Red Sox the other day,
mm-hmm.
based on the fact that there's magic, They're not looking like I'm wrong right now. It's feeling magical, no?
I don't know what magic feels like.
Feels like a grand slam. That's the theme
it feels
of that
like,
series.
Yeah, it feels like a grand slam every game is what it feels like.
All right, let's go. Let's go to the phones again. Donnie in Woodmere. Donnie.
Hey guys, how you doing today?
Good. You?
Good, thank God. Before I get to my point about the Yankees, I just wanted to point out to Don real quickly. You were asking before about the football game last night, why that's the play you run. I don't know if you saw Ed Werder tweeted out, Josh Allen had rushed for first down on 13 out of 14 tries on 4th-and-1 in his career, and he had converted 10 straight of those. So I guess they feel like that's the best play going into that.
But it's not a play that's going to result in a touchdown, I guess, is my point.
Right, like time is running out.
You get a fresh set of downs, but you're not going to get four more. How many more cracks are you going to get at the end zone? I don't know. How many timeouts did they have?
They still had one timeout. You take three shots at the end zone.
Yeah.
Throw the ball out of the back if you don't have it.
But you could also throw – this is what's interesting about numbers, right? All right, so he's converted out of, 10 in a row and whatever the number that he said before that. Well, then you can load up to make sure it doesn't happen. And what they don't take into consideration, he slipped.
Right.
Right. I think I like my options in overtime. Now, granted, they scored on three consecutive possessions. You lose the toss. Maybe you lose the game, but you can win the toss, or you could actually stop them, hold them to a field goal. Maybe you get a turnover. I just don't like it when it comes down to the one play. You don't get it, you're done.
What was your baseball point, Donnie?
I hear you. The baseball point, I think Don sort of hit it on the head before, that people being upset about Aaron Boone coming back is less about Aaron Boone and more that it seems to be a sign of they're not willing to change and they think they can do better with what they have. And the problem, Michael, you point out that you think the fans are taking some old quote about the excellence and the World Series and expecting the World Series every year. We're not looking at the old World Series necessarily and expecting a World Series every year. We're looking at the way the Yankees present themselves now. They talk about, this culture of excellence. And what other team in the major leagues has empty seats behind home plate because they have a section where they charge $1,000 a game for a ticket? What other team has concession prices like the Yankees do? They offer themselves to the fans as if they are a team that's competing for a World Series every year and winning them more than anyone else when they no longer are.
They are competing for a World Series. They're not winning it, but they're in the playoffs. I mean, how could you say they're not competing? I mean, the first step to get to the World Series is to be in the playoffs. It's not like they're missing out.
Yeah,
I mean, the Mets finished fourth this year. I don't want to compare them to the Mets, but you're competing. I don't think they're good enough to win the World, but they're competing for the World Series, and they believe that they were good enough last year, not in 2020, because Brian said, we could have easily lost in the first round. We realized that. But last year, they thought they were good enough.
Right. But the thing is, Michael, one division title since 2012.
I get it, but Don, again, semantics. They are competing for the World Series.
They're competing for the World Series. I get it. But they're also not in a position to win it when every year, pretty much, you're either missing the playoffs or settling for a wild card and having all your work come down to one game.
Mm-hmm.
And against Houston, you lost. Against Boston, you lost. Now, they also had wins against Minnesota and Oakland and advanced. But there are right now two teams and possibly a third team that next year will be better than the New York Yankees. So that's the problem. When the Dodgers win eight consecutive division titles, now you're competing for a World Series because you're missing that whole layer of wild card and you're automatically in a best of five and you're going to probably have home field. That has not been the Yankees over the last few years.
But the way this gentleman said it, though, that they had every single year they make the playoffs, they're competing for the World Series. Again, it becomes semantics. Are they good enough? Well, the past couple of years, I think that they didn't think they were good enough this year, especially with the pitching the way it was, although it wasn't the pitcher's fault. It was more the offense's fault. But they're competing for a World Series, so have they gotten there? No, they haven't gotten there since 2009, and I understand that's frustrating. And I'm not saying you're taking a 30-year-old quote, but everybody is referring to a quote that George might have made that quote 40 years ago. It's World Series or bust. I get it. I understand it. But this is a different day and age in the sport. It's hard to do it. Now, should Hal come out and say, if we make the playoffs, we have a chance? Maybe they should change the verbiage. I don't know. And they do conduct themselves as if they are the elite organization. And they are pretty damn elite. But in World Series or bust, I don't think you could say that anymore.
But what was the argument all the time when somebody would complain about the tickets behind home plate are $1,200 and how much they have to pay for whatever seats there are? And the answer was always, well, you know what? You've got a team that's competing for the World Series every year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the team that's better than you draws flies, has no payroll, and most people couldn't name three players on the team. So that kind of spits in the whole face of, well, you want to compete for a World Series every year. Well, then that means you're going to have to spend a lot of money to be able to go see Yankee games and sit behind home plate and all that. Well, that spits in the face of that, doesn't it?
Well, no, it doesn't spit in the face of that because their payroll is the second highest payroll in baseball, so they are putting that money into their payroll. And you can make the argument, and it would be a good one, they're not spending the money wisely. For them to be as short as they were with a $205 million payroll, remember, two of the major players that they got, they didn't even pay for. So, I mean, that's a payroll that, with when you look at the talent they had, was like $220 million, and they weren't good enough. But they do spend the money to win a World Series. If they cut their payroll down to $140 and they still charge those prices, I think they would have a kick coming.
But the idea is, well, you're spending all this money, and doesn't it make it even worse that you're still not as good as the Rays?
Yeah,
see, that's the thing
does.
Is that, you know, teams like the Rays, they were in your rearview mirror 20 years ago. Like, they weren't anything to even worry about. You know, you had to spend money to be good in baseball back in the day. You had to.
But the narrative that I don't think is true. Well, they don't care if they win or not. Hal Steinbrenner wants to win. If he didn't want to win, why spend the $205 million?
But he does, I think, see success in what the Yankees are. And that's when the memory of George comes up, because if George were here, everybody would be gone. And I'm not saying that's right. But that's how a lot of these fans grew up. And I think that Hal Steinbrenner looks, I'm sure he looks at his bottom line. He's a businessman, and he should. And the Yankees probably make more money than anybody else. They draw better. They're one of the number one draws on the road. Their cable ratings are great. They own their own network. They print money because of the success they have every year of competing for a championship. But to the average fan, they're not rooting for the team in Forbes. They're rooting for the team in the sports section and want to see this team win a division. And one division title since 2012 does not speak to money well spent.
That's a different story, but the money is being spent. Oh. And I know that the big narrative lately I've been seeing a lot, well, you know what, they have the same payroll as they had in 2005. Well, okay, the only team that has a higher payroll is the Dodgers. The only one.
I will stand with the Yankee fans on a lot of the things that they've said today and feel today. Yankees being cheap is not one of them. And there's something wrong if the only way the Yankees can compete, Michael, is if they have the highest payroll in baseball. I don't think that should be the case, not when you see what the Rays are doing. So, yeah, spend money so you have star players. I get it. It's New York. That's the way it kind of works, to try to grab the attention, because there's a lot of competition out there. But throwing money at the problem shouldn't always be the answer.
Take a brief timeout. Towel off. 1-800-919-3776. Big E and N coming up at 6. We'll continue to take your phone calls. Still 2-0 now, top of the second inning. Dodgers lead the Braves in a game that they have to have. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Split the ice apart and break the frozen.
Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks. Ice picks.
Off to a 1-2 start. A little slow, but still trying to feel it out. And I love one at -125. This is the New York Islanders, Dave. They've given up 11 goals in the first two games. They're going to be in Chicago to take on a Blackhawk team that is in a rebuild. And certainly they're looking for their home opener to get some inspiration. That's why I think the number is pretty good at -125. The Islanders on the money line. Marc-Andre Fleury's playing. So I think Vegas is kind of playing up Chicago's chances. I think the Islanders, they're not going 0-3 to start the year. So I like the Islanders on the money line at -125.
Now, will you bet this on your app?
I'm thinking about it.
Now, I don't know. Did you guys see in September, right, with football season starting?
Oh, sure.
That Jersey booked $1 billion on bets.
Yeah.
And wow. Connecticut is starting this week. They did a 7-day run. A soft open, and now they're going big. New York should be ashamed of itself with the money the city needs, how they have dragged their feet on this. It's an absolute joke. There was a great story by David Wallstein in the New York Times. Did you guys see this? It was last Sunday.
No.
Where there are people that bike over the George Washington Bridge from Manhattan on Sunday just to bet football games.
So dumb.
What is New York waiting for? How stupid can you be? Now, you could be against gambling. I understand people have problems with it. Nobody's forcing you to gamble. Obviously, if you listen to a sports talk show, it's in your face how many gambling apps that support our show. I get it. but it's being done in your neighboring states, and you're giving that money to them. How stupid can you be?
Yeah, because you got to realize. This is what I know, growing up in the tri-state area, but it's not that difficult to quickly for somebody who lives in Bergen County to drive 20 minutes to Suffern and place a bet, right? So it's so easy for somebody to do that. As you said, they'll pedal across the George Washington Bridge, whatever, to place a bet, $1 billion. And the argument that I hate hearing is, well, Don, do you really think they'd use that $1 billion to fix the roads? Well, all right, if they mess it up and misuse the money, but that doesn't mean you don't try? You don't try to bring it in, especially after the pandemic? The state couldn't use $1 billion, and it'd be more than $1 billion, Michael. There's a lot more people in New York than in New Jersey. Probably be $2 billion. Are you going to turn down $2 billion because there might be corruption and the money won't go to the right places?
It is something,
want the option?
It's something that Cuomo dropped the ball on and Hochul has now dropped the ball on. I don't understand why there's a lack of urgency. Again, you can make the argument about gambling and people could get into some issues. Listen, nobody's forcing anybody to do anything. But the fact that you can go to Jersey and do it, but you can't do it. You could go to the midpoint of the George Washington Bridge and bet, but you can't do it in Washington. It's a joke.
You can't watch any news or any programming in New York without seeing New York Lotto commercials constantly. That's gambling, isn't it?
Yep.
You're all in on getting people. And don't tell me, well, that's just the lottery. Don't believe me. I worked at a pharmacy that had a lottery machine, and there were people that walked in there that were destitute. They would still play 100 pick six on a Thursday because they were desperate to win. Okay, so how is that any different than walking in and putting $1,000 on the Giants to cover? Stop! Constantly running commercials that with the bacon sound, but that new rub off they have. How is that okay?
No.
How is it okay to have 50-50s? How is it okay to have bingo? You know how many charities have different kind of gambling? But because it's sports, oh, it's nefarious. The whole idea is, why do I get somebody that's willing to break the law and bet? Why not him to get bet legally and take that money and fix some of the infrastructure in your state?
Love bacon.
Well, here's your shot to qualify for the Week 7 Pigskin Payout. It's your chance to play in the 98.7 Sportsbook and win $250 or up to $1,000 for correctly picking the Big Blue and Carolina Panthers game. Be the first caller right now at 888-987-ESPN to qualify. We're going to be selecting the winners this Friday, so keep it locked into DiPietro and Rothenberg and the Michael Kay Show for your Pigskin Payout. Before we take a break, Spike from St. Pete wants to give his pick on what the Knicks are going to do. Their season starts tomorrow. Hey, Spike.
Also, there's a traditional bet you make with
this
Michael.
This is seven years in a row we're doing this now. I think I'm 6-1. So here's my conundrum, Michael. You got to concentrate now. Smart guy. They won 41 last year in a 72-game schedule, and they won 18 in their last 20. Pretty sure those numbers are correct. So the number I looked at, you guys could corroborate it, is 41.5 in 82. And I think with the abacuses and the slide rules, that's just about where they're going to finish. Now, we know bookies don't lose money, but they're wrong. So often, like last year in Phoenix 3 years ago. So I'm going to go with the over, and I'm going to say that the East is better, and the Knicks are going to finish either fifth or sixth seed, and that's for a normal 25 cents.
I would agree it's over, and I think that they could finish seventh or eighth and actually be better. But a lot of teams have gotten better than them, and Miami is a better team, and they finished behind them last year. Atlanta, I think, has confidence, and they finished behind them last year. They'll finish ahead of them. So I could see them winning 43 games, something like that, but they will. I think they're going to finish much lower than the fourth seed.
The seventh or eighth is the play-in. One thing for Peter.
Go ahead.
Please corroborate this, Peter. So the interview with Kemba, they're going to love. He's a delicious guy, if I could use that term. Wonderful young man, Kemba.
Yes.
And I'm glad he's getting the chance. We'll see if his health is good. But when he was in Boston, I've asked you this before, Peter, the team played better than when Kyrie was there. Not that he's a better player. The ebb and flow was better. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's fair. Again, I've pointed out, I don't know what the deal is with Boston and point guards, though. There's some reason why that team, under Brad Stevens, seems to just chew up and spit out point guards. I've never quite understood it. It'll be interesting to see what they're like now in the post-Stevens as head coach era.
Donaldo, give your ice pick again because somebody said it didn't get on yes. So what's your ice pick again?
Oh, I will take the Islanders on the money line at -125.
There you go. All right, big ENN coming up. And we're only on yes until 6:30. So if you want the full K-Show experience, you got to get to the radio for the final half hour. Big, full, Zoftig K-Show experience. Get to the radio for the final half hour. Because the Net pregame show starts at 6:30 on YES. But ENN is a TV vehicle. Stay tuned. Coming up next on YES and, of course, 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.